Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining me today in this live, and I can assure you, very valuable webinar on how to naturally detox your body. So before we begin, let me explain that our subject is called detoxification of the body, but this is really a very vague subject and not specific to a single organ or system in the body. So it's really unclear. Really, there's no such thing as detox my body. I mean, there are certain things you could do is eat good, eat healthy, eat light, have more fruit, more juices, maybe take some colon herbs, and you would be detoxing. But this is not a very therapeutic treatment with this type of, you know, a general manner. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to cover, first of all, to know if you need to eat detox or cleanse an organ or a system in the body. We're also going to talk about when not to detox. A lot of people are over detoxing. People are detoxing when they shouldn't be detoxing. People think detoxing is a cure for everything. Well, it's not. And you can create a lot of health problems by detoxing, cleansing, fasting, juicing when you shouldn't be. So we're going to cover that because that's very important. And now we're going to talk about, you know, which organs and systems in the body need to be detoxed. See, it's not like, oh, we're just going to do a detox. People say that to me. I don't know what they want to do. I do my own diagnosis. I do, which I'm going to talk to you today about the signs and symptoms for toxicity in different organs and systems in the body. That would be a better title to this webinar. Signs and symptoms of toxicity in different organs and systems in the human body. That is a better title because that's what we're going to talk about, to identify which organs in the body, whether it's gallbladder, you could have to detox your gallbladder from gallstones, liver, you could have fatty liver, colon, you could have diverticuli, diverticulitis, constipation, and even small intestines, you can have a mucus, even the stomach could have too much mucus. We could have to clean the mucosa from the stomach. The brain could have poor memory and dull and sick, and maybe we got to clear all these toxins from your brain. Of course, your liver, your colon, your lymphatic system. You could have swelling, puffiness, swelling in the ankles, clogging. Your whole lymph need to be, cleared. Uncongested would be a better word than detox. You know, systems in the body can become congested, just like the gallbladder can have congested. You can have gallbladder congestion, colon congestion, liver congestion, mental congestion, kidneys, kidney stones. When you're cleaning out kidney stones, you're doing basically a kidney detox. Even when you have a urinary tract infection, you're detoxing the urinary tract to get this pathogens out, this dead bacteria out to cleanse. So there's all types of organs in the body that can benefit from being cleansed and decongested from toxins. The trick is to know which organs in the body and which systems. So you're not just blindly doing some fad detox. And let me tell you, the internet is full of fad amateur detoxes. The celery juice fats juice is one of the popular ones now. It's just a giant fad. You know, just drinking cayenne water and honey and lemon, fad, because it may be suitable for one person, but it's not suitable for everybody. So that makes it a fad. And two, you know, you're not going to get much cleansing from these types of approaches. You don't even know what you're doing it for. Maybe you'd lose weight if you just only had celery juice or juices. Have some positive benefit if you were overweight and you could go for a few days on such a liquid diet, but they're not going to have much cleansing power. You're not going to cleanse your colon by fasting. You need high fiber foods moving through that colon, cleaning out the fecal matter, getting in these diverticuli and cleaning it out. It's not going to happen in a couple of days. It's going to take a week or two to clean this colon out and to improve the intestinal villi so they're absorbing nutrients. Just taking senna one day or strong laxative isn't cleansing. That's a laxative. Virchana. It's like a flush. So let's start first with understanding what are the signs of toxicity. First of all, you feel fatigued, tired, slow, sluggish, and you need coffee to get going. Yeah, that's one sign. Now, there's other reasons for fatigue. I'm not saying that's the only reason. There could be other reasons for fatigue, but one is congestion in the systems in the body. And you can have multiple systems congested at the same time, which is usually the case. Another sign of toxicity, one of the most clear, is stinky smell. That's right. Somebody goes in the restroom after you've relieved yourself and they say, "Oh my God, what died in here? It stinks like a dead animal." That means you need to detox the colon. Yep. So that stinky smell is a sign of needing detoxification. If you urinate in a cup and smell it, or you can just smell a stinky smell after you urinate, you need to detox this kidney, bladder, urinary tract pathway. If your underarms are really stinking, like, oh my God, right? And you have to use a lot of deodorant. This means your whole, you know, lymph, your skin, your tissue, your right through your sweat glands, all is full of toxins. So toxins stink, number one. If your breath is bad, toxins. If your tongue is filled with a white film, mucus, this is another sign of toxins. For example, you know, respiratory mucus, film on your tongue, toxins. No appetite, not hungry. I'm not hungry. I could go to 3-4 o'clock and not eat. Toxins. Because you wouldn't have a good, it's like a mucosa, ama, they call it in Ayurveda. It's a thick, gooey, white, sticky substance that accumulates anywhere in your body in different forms, and it blocks the channels, blocks the system, blocks even your taste. Even when you have no taste, that means your taste buds are congested and you need to detox, you could say, your tongue. So let's go through each organ in the body and talk about each system in the body and signs and symptoms of when these organs need to be detoxed. Because if you're going to go do a detox on your own, then, you know, you have to know what you're doing. What are you going to detox? So you first have to do a little diagnosis. The most important part of any treatment is the diagnosis. I mean, I have the herbs on the shelf. I have 400 herbs here that we make and sell nationwide. And we have all types of herbs for different detoxification for the different organs of the body. So the herb is here. So the question isn't how to detox. Well, we have the products. The question is which one and which organ should we focus on? Which ones need it and which ones don't? So we're going to do that. But before I do, I want to cover one other important subject. And that is when not to detox, when you should not detox. Now, many people don't know this. And I do have a YouTube video called "Are You Over Detoxing?" So if you want more on this subject, or you think you know somebody who's just, you know, living on detoxing all the time, doing candida cleanse for a year, losing weight, you may want to find that video and send it to them. But I'm going to sum it up. When you should not detox. Detox is not a cure for everything. You cannot cure all your health conditions by detoxing. You're not going to get rid of, you know, your autoimmune condition by detoxing. You're not going to lower your blood pressure by detoxing. I mean, you can lower your blood sugar by fasting, but, you know, not necessarily detoxing. And if you're depleted, you're underweight, you're having degenerative bone condition, your hair's falling out, anything like that, where you're depleted, then, you know, you're not going to want to detox. So that means if you're underweight, skinny, thin, bony, then you shouldn't be detoxing, at least not serious detoxing. You can use specialized detox. Just focus on your colon and keep eating. You know, most of the cleanse in Ayurveda you're eating and cleansing same time. So particularly if you're underweight, thin, Vata Prakriti, or even Pitta Vata Prakriti, where you don't have a lot of extra body fat, you're quite thin, or you're young and you don't have a lot of fat, you're just basically thin with your bones sticking out of your hands, your bones sticking out of your rest, big holes in your collarbone. Well, you're basically underweight if your bones are sticking out and you have holes in your collarbone. That's a sign of being underweight. So if you're underweight, then you can detox, but gently while you're eating foods. Now, you can be more selective on the foods that you eat to make it easier to digest, but you can't do fasting, juicing, all of this. So really in Ayurveda, they don't do fasting and juicing except for like Kapha Prakriti, somebody who's very heavy, dense, slow, no appetite, and has a lot of extra body weight to burn off during a type of fasting treatment. And we would never just fast only on water. We'd of course be fasting, you know, using herbal teas and substances that could focus on the organs we want to actually treat. Maybe like your skin, for example, you want to treat your blood, clean your blood out, or your liver, you want to clean your liver out. So we'd always use herbs in some tea or formula or tincture form that would be along with it. It would never just be water. But today we're going to focus on understanding which organ to detox. So just to clarify there, looking at my notes there, when not to detox, if you're underweight, if you're depleted, if your hair's falling out, if you're a young woman and your menstrual cycle has stopped, then, you know, fasting, depleting could not be good. If you have, anxiety, poor sleep, you have to be very careful about reducing your diet down, and skipping meals, and doing big detox. I mean, if you're very busy and you have a lot of work to do, you know, you can't, and you're doing manual labor, it's also going to be hard to do a type of cleanse there. But with herbs, you can always do a gentle cleanse in the background while you're eating slowly over 2-3 weeks. So let's talk about, so if you're thin, depleted, stressed out, underweight, then, you know, you shouldn't be doing these cleanses. You may need to be building. You may need to be eating more. You may need to have more fat. You may need to have more oil. You need to be maybe improving your digestion and maybe taking a little herbs just to clean the colon a little bit. That may be sufficient. It's better to clean these organs, you know, one or two at a time and not try to do some crazy radical cleanse. So the first area we want to look at is our colon. And this is what most people, I think, are thinking of when they are doing a detox. And that is, you know, do they need to cleanse their colon? And the main signs of needing to colon cleanse are smelly stools. Another sign is the stool sinks to the bottom. Bloop, hard. Not good. And the stool is stinky, sinking, or sticking all over the place. Not good. We want fresh, floating, and fluffy stools. We don't want stinky, sinking, sticky stools. So that's a good indicator right there by just looking in the toilet and taking a big whiff. Now, if you're constipated and constipation, you know, is means, of course, skipping one day, that's constipated. Skipping 2-3 days, that's serious constipation. Just going once a day, kind of late in the day, and kind of feeling a little sluggish in the morning, that's mild constipation. Most people think it's fine. If you ask a lot of people, how are your bowel movements? They generally say, oh, normal. You know, they really don't know. I mean, I've had people who are going every other day, and they tell you it's normal because they don't really know anything. Their whole life, they've been going every other day. Well, that's constipation, and we know that's creating autotoxicity, pumping toxins back into the system, burning in the liver. And, you know, ultimately you could have skin problems, rashes, hives, all types of conditions, even joint pain, because these toxins can get in your joints. So colon is very important to look at. And we're going to talk about different colon situations. Not every colon cleanse is the same, but let's move on. We're looking at the signs and symptoms of needs to detoxify different organs and systems in your body. The next is liver. When do you need to detox your liver? Well, your liver can be dying, like in cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholic liver, hepatitis, or it could be fatty liver with high cholesterol. And, you know, it can be inflamed. I meant hepatitis is in the third category, inflamed liver. There's a virus in it. And then, of course, very good there, gallstones. You know, that's another area of cleansing. Usually the liver and the gallbladder, we clean together. But hey, if you got gallbladder stones, then we know very clearly we have to clear the gallbladder. And when we flush out the gallbladder and we do this type of cleanse on the gallbladder, then, of course, where does the waste go? The waste goes in the duodenum, the small part of the small intestines, and it has to be flushed out. So if you're constipated and you're flushing out your liver or your gallbladder, you're just going to reabsorb a lot of these toxins and create more problems. So before you do a gallbladder flush, gallbladder cleanse, liver cleanse, you should always focus on doing the colon first and getting the bowels moving. And a lot of people have to take the colon herbs and the liver herbs simultaneously to avoid this kind of autotoxicity healing crisis that people talk about. Next is your kidneys. I mean, if you're urinating at night, you sit down or run into the toilet, you could have inflammation or bacteria in your kidneys, your bladder, your urinary tract. May not even be a urinary tract infection, but it needs to clean it out. Of course, if you have kidney stones, you need to dissolve these kidney stones. And this can take a while with the different herbs, but you're cleansing the kidneys. If you have kidney stones, you're cleansing the kidneys of kidney stones. If you're cleansing gallstones, you're cleansing the gallbladder of the gallstones. Very easy to treat the gallbladder. Very fast, it can clean out, but kidneys, they take time to dissolve these stones smaller, 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 until one day you urinate them out, and then we drink some tea with a demulcent tea that's slippery, and demulcent, slimy, slippery elm, marshmallow root, comfrey, these type of demulcent herbs to help it pass without hurting. Whole nother subject. But kidneys, if you have a lot of stinky urine, that's it. Now, even if you sit in the toilet or your man standing, urinating, and the urine doesn't come out, like it's not coming out fast. You think you have to go to the toilet, you come out, you look, and it's not coming out. Then it's dripping a lot, you know, men are shaking a lot, trying to get it out. It's just not coming out. And then you go walk away, and then a bunch comes out. Not good. That means you need to cleanse out this whole pathway, kidney, bladder, urinary tract. It doesn't really matter at that point, you know, where the issue is, but we know it needs to be cleansed. It's not flowing. So we'll talk again about different options here for kidney cleanse. But next, you've got the lymphatic system. If you got swelling in the ankles, puffiness under the cheeks, puffy on the hands, puffy on the fingers, you got swelling, water retention. This is a lot of times the lymphatic system that's clogged up. So you want to detox that and get things moving. And of course, many things are very clogging. We should talk about those, some dietary guidelines in a minute. Foods that are clogging. And of course, there's also the prostate. You know, I mean, if you have inflamed prostate, you know, you may have to cleanse your prostate. This is another subject. But also joints. Many people ask, well, how come you can treat arthritis? You have all these patients with joint pain and arthritis, and they can see all the testimonials on my website. How come I can give them herbs and arthritis goes away forever when the medical world just gives them pills, pain pills, and they still got the arthritis? They're just covering up the pain. Well, that's because we don't give you pain pills. We detox the joints and remove the toxins from the joints and the muscles in case of, you know, muscle inflammation like fibromyalgia. And we're removing the toxins from the joints and the muscles because that's why you have the pain in the first place. This is very important. I have many webinars on arthritis, different types of arthritis, how to treat arthritis, but the basic most common type of arthritic pain is toxins in the joints creating inflammation. And mostly we use the Gugulus, Yogaraj Gugulu, Kaishara Gugulu, you know, Simhananda Gugulu. There's many Gugulus. Gugulu is like a resin. Frankincense is also a resin. And these cleanse the joints of toxins. And that's why people's arthritis goes away. They're able to walk again and they don't have to keep taking the herbs. So if you are constipated, you have fatty liver, high cholesterol is just a sign really of poor liver function. That's a type of toxin. You have urinating at night, you have swelling in the body, and you have joint pain, muscle pain. You know, that's a lot of that can be cured through detoxification, but they have to be specific treatments for these organs. You can't be just doing some crazy fad diet you read on Facebook, eating celery juicing or just having cabbage or something funny like that. You don't even know what you're doing. So let's step back and talk about our colon. First of all, a few types of colon cleanse. So now let's just say you have sluggish colon, stinky smelling stool. You got signs you need to clean out the large intestines. Okay. So next you got to decide what is its condition. And of course, in Ayurveda, we have a very detailed system. We have Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. So if you have Vata in the colon, the stools will be dry and hard. So you want to have juicy fruit, sweet fruit, you know, and soft foods, no dry foods. And this will help and, of course, improve digestion. And, of course, we already have a formula just for this type of cleanse. See, this is for dry stools and constipation, detoxifies the colon. And this is a very potent formula. I mean, you can see there's Carsata Sagrada in it, and then, of course, Haritaki. And the main ingredient actually is castor oil. And there is and some salt, some licorice, some ginger, and another herb called Vidanga. And Vidanga, you'll notice, is in every single formula for colon. Why? Because Vidanga, it's a mild laxative, but it helps fight parasites. So whenever you're taking one of these Ayurvedic colon herbs, you're not just cleansing the colon. You're fighting parasites and making sure that the you're cleaning out, killing any of these pathogens. So that's why you see Vidanga. A lot of people, they don't know about Vidanga. They just think, you know, people use Triphala for every type of colon cleanse. But Triphala is very dry. We don't like to give it out for Vatas or people with dry, hard stools. It's better for long-term use when you don't have serious problems. So this one's got dried castor oil in it and Triphala, extra ginger, some salt, because it's for balancing for Vata, for dry, hard stools, you know, like golf balls. Now, if that's not your bowel movements, maybe your bowel movements are sticky and sluggish, like you're skipping a day, but they're not dry and hard. So then, and you're a big person, like a bear, Kapha Prakriti, then, you know, we'd give you one like this. See, this is for Kapha. It avoids constipation. It says for Kapha, and there's Triphala. Now it's got a little senna and it's got a little kick, and it's pretty strong. And it also has Gugulu, which is a resin, and Trichotoo, which is a peppery and hot. So, you know, it's a little hot, little spicy, pretty strong formula. The other one is pretty strong too, but this one is for not for dry stools. It's for sticky, sluggish, you know, stools. So, and mostly for Kapha Prakriti, but not always. Now, if you're a Pitta type Prakriti and you're getting kind of loose stools, but you're not going every day, but they're kind of loose. They're not dry, not hard, not sticky, but kind of loose, unformed, a lot of pieces. And maybe even you get some burning sensation or you get, diarrhea, even sometimes when you have spicy food, then you want a Pitta formula to cleanse out. And that's this one here. We have like four or five Pitta formulas, but this is what Pitta colon number two, because it's actually reducing body heat, cleanses liver, colon, and it's not that strong. It's only a mild laxative, because we're assuming this person is not very constipated. Bhuma Malaki, the best herb for the liver, and Kumari, which is actually aloe vera. There's your Triphala in there. Bhubataki Amlaki, and Haritaki. Trivet, which is a really wonderful herb to clean out the small intestines and the gallbladder, and a little licorice to, you know, as a catalyst, kind of making all the herbs work better. So if you do need a colon cleanse, and we have more formulas than that, That's just the three main ones. And in fact, if you're not, if you have the signs of toxicity, like film on your tongue, sluggishness, not going well every day, we may not even pick one of those. We also have some long-term ones, and we call them long-term because they're just more mild. They say more avoids constipation. And they are, they, you know, there's your triphala there again, amlaki, bibitaki, haditaki, little ginger. There's that trivet, and there's vidanga again for the worm. So this is made for long-term use, but only for kapha and vata types. We have another long-term formula for pitta types, which is cooling. When you see the pitta formulas, you know that that person's going to be warm and hot, and they can't do ginger and hot ones. You see a lot of people selling strong laxatives with senna on it. This is rarely should use. You see some teas, and all they have is, you know, maybe some peppermint, some cumin, some coriander, and senna. You know, the senna is going to get the bowels moving, but it doesn't have the colon cleansing properties. You're not just trying to do a laxative. You're trying to cleanse. And that's the benefit of the triphala, amlaki, bibitaki, haditaki, because it's cleansing the colon, the little villi inside of the colon wall. It's cleaning them out, making them all fresh, making a nice environment for the intestinal bacteria to grow and be healthy again. You're not just doing some laxative like senna where you're just cramping the colon and that's it. It's coming out. No cleansing. You're done. No, you're better to do like 1 or 2 weeks every day. Take a teaspoon at night, slowly cleansing, nice and steady. Take your time and keep eating because you need a high fiber diet to cleanse the colon. You shouldn't have anything constipating while you're doing a colon cleanse. You should have no meat at all, no animal products except maybe some ghee, and have mostly for vata type, you can do lentils, pitta and kapha, you can do pinto beans and other beans. But mung bean, of course, is the best because these beans have high fiber. You need a high fiber diet so you have nice big bowel movements, and they're just cleansing out the colon by these large high fiber bowel movements are moving through the herbs. Are helping, herbs are cleaning, and you're doing it over 2-3 weeks, not just like take a strong laxative and you're done. No, doesn't work like that. You know, the human body ain't gonna clean quick. Slow and gentle is always a better way to go. And no, you don't get diarrhea. If you get diarrhea from one of the formulas, you just take less. That's all. But you gotta keep going. So I think we covered it there for the colon. So let's talk about the liver next. Signs, of course, as we mentioned earlier, of liver toxicity are usually skin problems, rashes, hives, itching, redness, pimples. And, you know, you can touch your liver. You can palate your liver and you can see, oh, it's so tender. That means it's a little inflamed. Oh, it's so hard. Means it's maybe a little cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholic liver. Or if you go up to the gallbladder, then you've got gallbladder congestion too. It's very easy to determine just pressing on people. People are looking on Facebook, you know, doing all kinds of tests. I ask them to stand up, bend over a little bit, push on their gallbladder, and they go, they jump. Okay, we know gallbladder is congested because it hurt. But other signs that you could have fatty liver, where you need to cleanse it out, then your cholesterol will go up, your LDL, low-density lipoproteins will increase. So usually cholesterol isn't a disease. It's a sign of overburdened liver because it's the liver's responsibility to manage the lipids in your blood. And once it can't work well, then the lipids or the fat level goes up. Now, of course, if you're eating junk food, fast food, this is going to happen very quickly. If you start eating junk food as a kid, maybe in your 30s, you already start to have liver problems. But even if you eat very well most of your life, you can still have liver problems by 50, 60 years old. I mean, the liver 60 years old. So liver cleanse almost for anybody is useful once you get around 50 or 60 years old. A lot of young people don't need to do it, but you should classify, if you go get your blood work done and you see the bilirubins high and other liver enzymes high, then this is a sign that you need to work on your liver. Now, again, we have different cleanses for the liver. If you have fatty liver and high cholesterol, then we would do this one, which is a kapha state. There you go. Decongests liver, cleanses blood, improves metabolism. And there's kukti. Kukti has actually become very expensive, but it's one of the best herbs for the liver. Very strong, very bitter. Buma Malaki, which you saw before. Puna Rava is anti-inflammatory, weight loss, cleansing, diuretic herb. Calmeg is called the king of bitters. Also very, very effective for liver. Most of the herbs here are bitter and pungent, like the ginger is pungent. Manjista and Bringraj, particularly good for liver. Manjista is good for liver and skin. So, you know, this is a nice, strong formula, and it's very similar to the cholesterol formula. That cholesterol formula has more kukti and some moringa in it. This one, and liver herbs are always taken before the meals. That's right. You don't just take them like a tea. You just take a half a teaspoon before your meal, and you try to finish the whole jar, and you go slow and steady. Don't do some crazy fat liver flush. Just forget that idea. Drinking a bunch of salt water, shooting up your blood pressure, increasing the sodium, and then gulping down a bunch of, you know, olive leaf and, you know, and going, no. You know, I mean, there's cases where it can be beneficial, but it's not necessary. Slow and steady cleansing the liver. And this one is particularly for fatty liver. Now, if you're a very sensitive person, and particularly if you have cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholic liver, we want a more gentle formula than that one we just saw right there. And usually that's a thin person, gently improves liver function and cleanses the blood. And there's Kasni, which is, you know, a more gentle liver cleanse. Buma Malaki, which you're going to see in all these formulas. Bringraj, which you saw. Shank Pushpi is a very mild, it's almost a little relaxing. And there's a Haritaki, which is, of course, good for Vata. And there is, of course, Manjista in there. And a little more Kukti. See, Kukti's in there. It's just not the first ingredient anymore. That's the only difference. And if you're a really sensitive person, particularly if they're really dry, because a lot of these liver herbs are very bitter, then we would do this one here. This one is more gentle. It's a liver ghee. Yep. Mahatikta Gritam. And ghee is the first ingredient. And then there's neem, guduchi, trikatu, which is three herbs, manjista, buma malaki, which you saw before, little turmeric, and some bitter melon. And that is in ghee. The herbs are prepared and cooked in ghee. And this one, you take a half a teaspoon before meals. This is much more gentle than the dry powdered herbs. And particularly if a person has really dry skin like eczema, then we prefer the herbs in ghee to make it more gentle and not drying, because a lot of liver herbs are very drying. Okay. And then if there's a little gallbladder congestion, we do have gallbladder formula. I didn't bring it here. We have a gallbladder formula as well, which you would take before meals. But also we have this liver tea. This is traditional Western herbs. All those, you can see these, any Western herbalist would give you these same herbs here. Let's see, there you go. Dandelion root, burdock root. And dandelion, of course, is one of the premier herbs for the liver. Burdock root is like the sister. And milk thistle helps get the bile flow. Licorice is kind of a catalyst making it all work. Coriander is important because it's cooling. The liver needs to be cooling. Turmeric root is really just supplemental, and cardamom, also a cooling, sweet tasting. You can't use hot spices and even ginger with the liver. We just put a little turmeric because even though it's related to ginger, it does kind of work as a mild catalyst to make the function, make it work better. So again, you have to pick the right organ that needs to be treated. And second, you have to pick the right formula and right approach. And of course, the right supporting diet. Now, when any type of liver cleanse, no fried foods, no oily foods, no fast food, no processed food, as much organic as you can. But you should still be eating, unless you're some obese person and we can fast you. But in most cases, I mean, even if you're obese and you can lose weight, you still, if you're working, going to a job, you know, it's going to be hard not to eat. So it's better you just eat no meat, no animal protein, and healthy foods. Every person is a little different. There's no one diet for everybody. There's definitely no one diet for everybody detoxing. So I would give you the individual diet. Then I'll pick the herbs, maybe a little liver herbs before the meal, a little colon herbs before bed. Now, if you have a urinary problem, stinky urine, peeing at night, we have many different formulas for that. But, you know, we use the tea a lot because the tea works well. this one says supports weak kidneys, improves function, increases urine flow, and it can reduce swelling. I mean, we have even swelling formulas. There it is. You know, nettle is the base. It's a diuretic. Parsley also base, diuretic. Horsetail is much stronger. This is kind of mixing Western and Indian herbs together because Gokshar is the premier herb for the kidney bladder system. We call Gokshar, or in English, tribulus. And Herba Ursi, a little bit in there, is helping fight infections and pathogens. It's very similar to the UTI tea, except the Herba Ursi is one of the top ingredients on the UTI tea because you want to fight infections. Well, this one, you just put a little Herba Ursi in there just to make sure there's no infection. But if the person's got like a lot of burning and stinging, we have specialized formulas for the kidneys. And of course, if the kidneys are failing, like, in, you know, the GFR numbers are low or creatine levels are high, then we have different treatments like renal cure. But you're not detoxing the kidneys, you're restoring them. So it's a different process. The opposite of cleansing is restorative. And we're going to talk about that too, because that should always be done after a cleanse. But if you have burning, stinging urine, then, you know, we have one for pitta. This one is just specialized for this. There we go. Reduces urinary burning, urgency, nocturnal urination. And this one's very cooling. There's that Gokshara, the premier herb in Ayurveda for your kidneys. Chandraprava actually is a formula. We sometimes call it clearing formula. Chandra means cooling. You know, this whole formula needs to be cooling. And it's very clean. Sandalwood, that's red sandalwood, by the way. Also very sweet and cooling. And musta is another cooling, pitta balancing herb. So this is a diuretic, cooling diuretic. Gets rid of burning sensation. Musta also can help with infection. Sandalwood is very soothing. And the Chandraprava is just a wonderful formula. So that's a formula in a formula. And you could just take Chandraprava by itself for this condition. You'd probably get pretty good results. So, and we have more kidney formulas as well for Vata, Kapha, for kidney stones. And of course, failed kidney is a different point. And then for the lymphatic system, I didn't bring the other formulas, but we have other formulas for the whole lymph system, swelling formula. We have one called VPK Detox, which is very simple. It's just Trifla, Amlaki, Bibitaki, Haritaki with Gugulu, about 10-15% Gugulu and a little ginger. And that Gugulu is called the deep detox. You know, it gets the joints, as I talked about earlier. But if you take it with a lot of Trifla, it will help to detox the whole lymphatic system. So we just Trifla and Gugulu is a very nice combination for, you know, unblocking the whole lymphatic system. And Chandraprava, which is used for urinary tract, also helps with swelling. So you could do some Gugulu for the hard, deep cleansing. Chandraprava, if they're swelling. And, you know, Trifla as a base, because it's one of the most cleansing formulas. We just don't take it much by itself. We always stack other herbs around it and use it as part of the formula, which you could see. Like I mentioned earlier, Trifla is very drying. And if you were to take it and you have dry hard stools, you should add a little ghee to it, warm water and some ghee, so you're not taking it too dry. So, and of course, we didn't really cover joint detoxification, but like I said, I got many videos on arthritic pain, and we're treating the arthritic pain by detoxing the joints, mostly using resins like Gugulu, and including frankincense resin. No, we don't use turmeric. That's some Western idea. That doesn't clean out the joints. Turmeric is related to ginger. It's got some anti-inflammatory benefits, but you'd have to take an awful lot of it if you really had bad pain. Better you just cook with it. And these Gugulus, they're meant to detox the joints and to some degree the muscles. And that's how we remove arthritis, by detoxing the joints. So, I hope that gave you a better understanding of the different areas in the body that you need to detox. And you can't maybe detox everything at the same time. You have to prioritize. Maybe doing detox with the colon first, then the liver and the colon. Then the joints could take a couple months. So you might as well do the colon first. It's quicker. And if you're urinating a lot at night, this could be a big problem, keeping you up at night, affecting your own health. So maybe you want to flush that out. So you have to decide, or I decide in the appointment, what are we going to cleanse on the first month? And then in a few weeks or a month later, we can work on other organs, other systems, until we've achieved our cleansing, uncongesting, detoxification goals. And we didn't even talk about the respiratory system. When you had a lot of mucus and congestion and nasal blockage, that's type of respiratory congestion. So this needs to be cleared and detoxed as well. Now, after these detox, then after you do this Shodhana Chikisaw, it's called an Ayurveda, very similar to Panchakarma, but you're not doing Panchakarma. You're doing like a home version of Panchakarma. You're like taking the herbs. This is Shodhana Chikisaw. It's like a slow detox. Well, Panchakarma, you go into the clinic and they do it for you. It's more quick. And that's more Southern India. Northern India, we just use the herbs. We don't even do the Panchakarma. So, but after you're done with this cleansing, which can be, from a couple weeks for some people, if you're depleted, you don't want to do it too long, short, couple weeks. For other people who are heavy and overweight, and can you lose some weight, Kapha Prakriti, Kapha Vikriti, then you could do it a couple months. But once you're done, then you have to do a restorative treatment, Rasayana. And a lot of people don't do this. And even my own patients, even after I've cleansed them, they thank me. Oh, my bowels are moving good now. I'm not urinating at night. All my joint pain's good. Thank you very much. And they send me a nice testimonial. You can see I have about 400 testimonials. But they disappear sometimes after that. Gone. They're happy. But in fact, they should stay and allow me to do the last stage after detoxification. That's called restorative, or an Ayurveda Rasayana. Rasayana is restorative, building back the tissue, and after you've cleansed it out. And restorative can be, it's more almost like nutritional in a way. You're taking building herbs, muscle building herbs, blood building herbs. There's restorative herbs for the liver, restorative herbs for the mind, restorative herbs for the whole body. And the diet can change. If you're a thin vata type person and you did a cleanse for 2-3 weeks with no animal protein, then you're going to have to go back on some animal proteins, dark chicken meat, fish, to kind of restore, particularly if you were thin and you lost weight, then we need to put that weight back on. Now, if you're a heavy person, you're a kapha, and you lost a bunch of weight, well, we don't have to restore as much because you didn't. That weight loss was beneficial and you still have some weight to lose. But if you were thin and we had to do a cleansing because we had to flush out some liver, colon, lymph, and you lost a few pounds, and we have to put those pounds back on. So that's the type of restorative. So it really depends on how much cleansing there was, depending on and who you are, on how much restorative they are. But if you're my patient and you've already done cleanses with me, you should always do the one extra appointment after everything is done and you're feeling good to allow me to give you restorative treatments. That's when we have like a bone building formula, hair and nail building formula. We have superfood, Ayurvedic superfood formulas. We have mineral energy tabs made of shilajit and other type of more nutritional type of building substances after the cleanse. You don't want to do cleanses forever. I know people, I'm doing candida cleanse for a year. They've lost 20 pounds. They're just down to bones and they're still doing some crazy candida cleanse. You don't want to do radical things like that for a long time. The more radical, the quicker and the shorter you should do it. Vata types or weak and thin and not, and maybe possibly underweight, 1 or 2 weeks is enough. Kapha people, maybe a couple months. But you want to get it over with. Done. Achieve the objectives. No more pain. No more urinating at night. Mind is clear. Energy is good. Circulation is good. All signs and symptoms of the liver are working good. When you're done, you're done. You don't need to keep doing it forever. That's the beauty of the herbs. They're powerful. They're quick. A couple months of taking the herbs, a couple weeks sometimes, you're done. It's over. Now you can go back to a building, strengthening, restorative diet for long-term longevity. You can't just keep detoxing forever. You're not going to live a long life if you keep, not eat, skip meals, and keep cleansing, and try to just live off of juices or smoothies and think you're detoxing. No, you want to do it quick, clean, focused, concise, over, and then back to a healthy long-term diet. maybe with some supplemental herbs like the long-term colon, maybe a little liver herbs to keep helping out. You can still stack some other herbs afterwards that are just not as strong and a little bit for long-term use, just to keep cleansing, keep that organ cleanse, or a blood. We have a blood detox tea, for keeping the blood cleanse, you know, if acne's coming back or pimples are coming back or skin problems are coming back, you can take some of these herbs long-term to avoid the condition from coming back. But you should focus on your organs to repeat. First of all, you should determine which organ and system needs to be detoxed. I mean, of course, maybe first you should even think, do you even really need to detox? Maybe you need to be eating more. Maybe you need to work on inflammation, getting inflammation down first. There's always could be other priorities besides detox, even though it tends to be first. But you don't do nutritional therapy first. Nutritionists try to give you nutrition for everything. No. We at Ayurveda, we take care of the health problems first, get rid of congestion, mucus, phlegm, blockages, block channels first, and inflammation and pain, gone. Then we do the nutritional therapy, which is last, the restorative, rasayana. We do it last. That's why a lot of nutritionists can't treat many conditions, because they're providing nutritional supplements. They're not cleansing anything. And by the way, most of these nutritional supplements are synthetic, and they themselves in long-term use are, you know, toxic to the liver. Other things that are toxic to the body, all pharmaceuticals are toxic to the body. All pollution is toxic to the body. Our bodies, all organic food is toxic to the body. Unhealthy people are toxic to the mind. News, TV, you know, is toxic to the mind. You know, there's many things in our world that are toxic. That's why I try to live in the countryside. I try to grow my own food. I try to live where the air is good and, you know, the water's clean, because we're all accumulating toxins all the time. Everybody, even in the countryside, with our own well, with our own food, we're still got toxins. So, but the body's always eliminating these toxins through the colon, through the kidneys, through the skin. Every time you exhale, you're exhaling carbon monoxide. That's a toxin. So breathing is also detoxifying, you know? So it's a part of life, and part of staying healthy is keeping these toxins out. So the body's very capable of doing it. We're just helping it out where these toxins have over-accumulated, okay? I hope that helped you. I hope that helped you have more confidence in cleansing your organs in your body, improving your health, and ultimately living longer. And feel free to contact me if you want professional assistance in treating these conditions, so you're not just guessing and trying different things on your own body. Okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you to come here and to share this information with other people. I hope to help as many people as I can. Once again, thank you very much. God bless you.